It seems as if every culture on the planet has its own special percussion. Sometimes made of wood, sometimes made of metal, sometimes of animal skins. And isn't it amazing, through all the millennia of striking things with hands, sticks, the flavors are so very clear. This, for example, could never be mistaken for African drumming. Music like this inspires. It inspires the body, it inspires the soul, and it certainly inspired my special guest today, who, when she heard music like this and the amazing sound of the santur, the hammered dulcimer from Persia, it very simply changed her life. My special guest today is an extraordinary woman, Rowan Storm, who, when she heard this music a long time ago, what happened? A light went off?
Yes.
This is Persian music for santur and dombak originally, right?
Yes.
Where were you and what happened?
I was in Hollywood at a small place, and I don't remember the name of it, but it wasn't really a concert. It was more of a performance in a little hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember how I got to the concert. I found out about it somehow, and I went with a friend, and we sat there, and it was as if the whole material reality disappeared, and all was left was vibration and light and love, and it completely changed my life.
Wow.
Yeah, because this was in 1967, by the way, before mm-hmm. many Iranians had come to this area.
That's right.
I've asked around all over the place to find out who the musicians were, and no one has been able to tell me so far, because it was very early when the Iranians started coming here. And it was a time in the 60s when everything was artificial, and then there I was in this music, and it was real.
Mm-hmm. Very acoustic, very, well, as we would now call it, roots music, right?
Well, I mean, I had been familiar with other, what I would call, roots music, but somehow that music in particular had some quality that I would, that struck me as being real when in a world full of, you know, things that were artificial.
Southern California, right? It's funny, the last hour we were also talking about the 1960s and how things have changed since then. So what happened next? Were you already a musician at that point?
Well, I had been playing guitar a little bit and singing Bob Dylan songs and Joan Baez songs, and I was involved in that kind of music. And then after that experience, I tried to find more recordings like that and could not. But I did find Turkish music and Armenian music, and and Arabic music, Om Kalsum, and I would sit there and listen forever in front of my speakers. My mother remembers me doing that, and just she thought, what planet did her daughter come from? And I just listen constantly, and soon all kinds of coincidences started happening, very strange coincidences, and soon I had listened so much to a few different recordings that I had pretty well memorized a lot of music, but without even trying. It just I had just listened. I had absorbed it. And soon I was in New York. I started playing music with some friends of mine in university in Colorado.
And then on guitar, or had you switched to percussion?
No. At that point, I started singing and playing percussion. This was in 1970-something, you know, in college.
In Middle Eastern style?
In Middle Eastern style, yes, and with a group of friends in University of Colorado, in Boulder, Colorado. And then after that, I went to New York City. I moved there, and then soon the coincidences started. One day I was talking to someone on the phone, listening to a recording that I had been listening to particularly very, very much, and he heard it in the background, and he said, "What are you listening to?" And I told him, and he said, "Oh, really? That's my album." And I didn't realize it. I didn't associate the music with human beings. It was something from another dimension. And that was the beginning of some very strange coincidences. And then they've been going on ever since.
And who was that person?
That
Whose
person
album was it?
Unfortunately, I don't have an album from that time. His name is Sudan Baronian, and he is an Armenian musician. And he still has a group called Taksim, and it's a fusion of Middle Eastern music and jazz. And then I played with his group for many years, many, many years, based in New York City, and we traveled all over the place, including Europe and Turkey and Central America, and we did make some CDs. I don't have the CD with me at the moment. And then I became in New York City. I became involved in all different kinds of Middle Eastern music, always remembering the Persian music, but somehow that was more elusive. There weren't that many Iranians around. And then finally I moved to Greece in 1993 to pursue my dream of the connection from east to west, because I began to notice that there are all these influences in Western culture that come from the east. And I wanted to explore that. So I went to Greece in 1993 and became involved more and more with all this kind of Middle Eastern music and teaching and performing and traveling all over the place, including in Europe. And finally, I met someone who had come from Iran, a Kurdish person from Iran called Fardin Karamkhani, who's an excellent musician, and we started playing together and playing concerts in Greece of Kurdish and Persian music. And then in 2001, I was very fortunate to meet Mohammad Reza Lotfi, who is considered one of the greatest masters of the old traditional Persian music. And he invited me to play concert tours with him in Switzerland, which is where he was living at the time. So that was the real turning point when I went radically into Persian music, and that's what I've been involved with ever since. And that's now maybe 7 or 8 years, pretty much exclusively Persian and Kurdish music, and a little bit of classical Ottoman music, because it is related.
It's at some level, it's all related back there, and you're in the nexus right there in Greece. That's the connection where everything starts to come
together.
For me,
it's the center of the world. Absolutely, the center of the world.
Of course, small detail that happens to be your home address at the present time, but also culturally.
You know, yes.
Forward, backwards, every direction. Rowan Storm is my special guest during this hour of the Global Village, and we're speaking for a very special reason, not just because she doesn't get to town very often, but she's playing tomorrow night in an extraordinary concert at St. Matthew's Church in the Pacific Palisades. It's an 8 o'clock concert with the Leon Ensemble, very good friends, of course, of KPFK, and Rowan will be performing on several percussion instruments. We'll be talking about that in just a bit. The concert happens at 8 o'clock tomorrow night, St. Matthew's Church, one of the most acoustically and visually beautiful spaces in Southern California. It's up on Bienvenida Avenue off of Sunset Boulevard on the north side. And for further ticket information, you can call area code 310-573-7787. I'll give that number often in the next 20 minutes. 310-573-7787. And you want to hit extension 4 to find out about tickets. But we're talking right now about one of your first great teachers, Mohammad Reza Latfi, who performs on setar, of course, tar and vocals, and is a legend.
Yeah? Yes, yes.
This is a recording that's pretty widely available, made by Karashma Records from right here in Los Angeles. So your lessons began with this great master, but eventually you did the unthinkable. You did what everybody told you not to do. You went to Iran by yourself.
Yes.
Now, why did you go and do that, even though everyone said you shouldn't?
Because I'd been dreaming about going to Iran since 1967 when I heard that music, and I wanted to understand how music could have such an effect on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I had made applications for visas earlier, which didn't come through. I was never rejected with my visa, but just there no answer had come. And finally, one Iranian gentleman who is a professor of Persian language in Germany knew about my concert performances with Mr. Lotfi, which is he knew about me, and he knew about how much I've dedicated my life to this music. And it's a long story, but he basically went to Tehran and convinced the foreign ministry to invite me. He apparently said,
wow,
you know, we need more Americans like this woman because she loves our culture and she's learning our language and she's really loving and adoring our culture. So I was invited by the government.
Great.
And
makes it a lot easier, doesn't it?
Oh, yes. I was hosted by two gentlemen from the government, including one Ayatollah. And they could not have been kinder and more considerate and more anything I needed. They made themselves available for whatever. They were very, very kind.
Mm.
And also, I had the very good fortune to meet a family who, through this Iranian gentleman who had gotten my visa for me, and they became my family in Iran. And I ended up staying with them, and they took me everywhere, and they adopted me as a member of their family. And I think not only because of the two gentlemen from the government, but also because of the Jan Mohammadi family in Tehran, who really took me into their family. And just my experience of Iran was really formed from those two connections.
So now, were you playing? Were you taking lessons? Were you simply meeting people and breathing in the air and the food and the ambiance?
Nima Jan Mohammadi is the son in that family who's a very, very, very excellent musician, and we played together a lot. We played together with his friends. I did study a little bit, but I had to make a decision. Am I going to stay in a room and practice and take lessons, or am I going to go and see this magnificent country?
Mm.
So I tried to do a balance of both. I did end up traveling alone to many parts of Iran, all over the country, including Kurdistan.
Wow.
And especially, even the Jan Mohammadi family said, don't go, don't go, don't go. And if you must go, go with a bodyguard with a gun. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And I went alone. And I met magnificent people. And I was hosted by a woman sheikh of a dervish order in Bani, Kurdistan, which is very close to the Iraqi border. And I lived with her family, and I had Kurdish traditional clothing made for me. And I went to their hanukkah, their Sufi gathering place, and played daf with them in their ceremonies. And also in Saqqez, Iran, in Kurdistan, which is not far from there. And that was quite extraordinary. And then
that's something that practically no one is privy to,
well,
let
I
alone
went alone.
A nice blonde girl from Southern California, right? I imagine you were fully covered.
I was fully covered.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, all the time, right? Were you allowed to smile in the streets?
Oh yes, yes. The only place where I was advised not to smile was in Qom, the religious center of Shiism in Iran. They said, "Don't let any hair show." Because now, when I was there, the rules about women's clothing were quite relaxed. Women were wearing, I don't know what it's like now, it's only, I was there in the this past summer, but things change quickly, I don't know what's going on now, but women wear their scarves way back on their heads so the front of their hair shows. But in the history of Iran since the revolution, it was not always like that.
Yeah, of course.
But they did tell me in Qom I had to wear a chador and I had to absolutely not let any hair show. And they said, don't smile at anybody. Don't look at anybody in the face because it's a very serious environment. And I ended up going in and I did the prayer with the women in the very, very sacred shrine in Qom, which was really extraordinary.
Now, I've read a little bit of the blog that you wrote, and you talk about going in and joining them in prayer. I know you've learned a lot of Farsi, enough to get around by yourself. Have you also made a religious conversion?
No, I have not.
Are you allowed in there if you're not?
I don't know. I didn't ask, and one thing that
don't
was
ask, going, don't tell, right?
Well, I mean, I wasn't really planning on doing that necessarily, yeah. But I wanted to go in and explore the shrine. It was kind of in my mind that I would like to do the prayer with them. The azan is the call to prayer, and I love the sound of the azan. I've been to Turkey many, many times. And what was really significant is when I walked into the shrine building, the second I put my foot in the door, the azan started, which was...
That's the call to prayer. When you're called, you should answer, right?
It was not consciously planned by me that way. And so I thought, okay, that must be the sign. And I followed all the women with our chadors, with their beautiful flowing garments. And I just followed them right in there and just went in there and lined up with them. And when they were making the prayer in Arabic, I hope I'm not offending anyone by saying this, but I said the Lord's Prayer because I have a Christian background. And
we'll see what St. Peter's has to say about that.
Yeah. Well, I figured I love these people. My heart is full of love, and I love these people, and I don't care to stop at those distinctions, those religious distinctions. And what is significant about, for example, St. Matthew's Church and Sufism, in briefly, is that the message I got from my education at St. Matthew's, which is where I went to school until the sixth grade, and also Sufism, is that there is no difference in the eyes of God from, you know, human beings, we're all members of the same family. And so I figured I didn't ask. If someone had asked me, are you a definite Muslim person? And I would have said no, and then they would have said, no, you can't come in. But I went, and I had an absolutely magnificently wonderful experience. It was very, very special. Very, very special.
Well, I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, listeners to the radio, will have a very special experience tomorrow night at St. Matthew's Church in the Pacific Palisades. My special guest, Rowan Storm, will be performing with the Leon Ensemble in an evening of music that will be part traditional Persian music and also some Sufi music. Is that right?
Yes, actually, most of these compositions are compositions of Leon Ensemble, which are quite beautiful, very, very beautiful. And you, from all the listening that I've done of traditional Persian music, you would never know that they were contemporary compositions. They are definitely in the line of the old school, and they're very beautiful compositions. And the singer has come from Canada, Mr. Soleiman Vasegi, and he is a wonderful singer. And it's a very beautiful program.
Another program that you were involved with, not a program necessarily, but an experience you had, was performing with some... Were you performing with the Sufis in Iran, this amazing group of women? We actually have some sound.
Of departure. The stars like candles, thrust at us from behind blue veils. And as if to make the invisible plain, a wondrous people have come forth.
From the DVD Mystic Iran, The Unseen World, a circle of women singing with the percussion instruments that you'll be playing tomorrow night.
Yes.
Back in their home in the city of Sanandaj, the women gather with Khalifa Shanay for their weekly ritual. Dervishes believe the heart is the seat of cosmic knowledge. And the meditation, chanting, prayers, and sama are the means to open the heart. After meditation, they chant a mystical mantra.
Now, you were actually able to partake in one of these kinds of celebrations?
Yes.
Is it unusual for women to be playing percussion instruments?
Well, this I had been curious about that for many, many years because I knew that there are men dervishes who play daf, and I had been asking many people about women, and I never really got a straight answer. I figured that there had to be women because the archaeological evidence shows that frame drums were originally a woman's instrument back in ancient history. And so I figured because it grew up in this geographic area. And so finally, I got a connection by sheer kismet. Another coincidence, I found out about this. And so this group that I was staying with in Bane, Kurdistan, it's a woman sheikh, and it's only women who go there. And then in another area, I found out later that there are many, many, many groups of these women who play daf and have these rituals all throughout this area of Kurdistan. And so they are not performances. You mentioned that before. It's not a performance. They are rituals, and they are all kinds of very interesting things go on in these rituals. And very, very strange and interesting. There is a film that's made by a friend of mine called Jahan Ardalan called Beyond Words, and it's about the men dervishes related, and they do things like stick knives into their bodies, and it's a little bit strange for the first time especially, and the women do this too. And I was there present, and I saw it with my very eyes. I was playing daf very intensely with this ritualistic feeling, and right in front of my eyes, women were sticking knives into their bodies.
No blood.
And at the same time, what I found particularly interesting was at the same time, women were passing out tea and dates. And some of the women were chatting with each other at the very back of the room. And as you get closer to the room, they were involved very intensely with this ritual. But and this is a big group of women. There must have been at least 100 women there, maybe 150 women. It was a big group. And I was just watching this with my very eyes, and I was seeing, you know, the women sitting around drinking tea as if they were at a tea party, and it was just a very interesting contradiction.
Amazing. Rowan Storm, my special guest, she'll be playing tomorrow night with the Leon Ensemble in Pacific Palisades.
Vatanım, tekiye beken an zedenem orizus, tekiye beken an zedenem orizus, havaye vatanım.
Tomorrow night in the Pacific Palisades, the Leon Ensemble and Rowan Storm will be performing an evening of Persian music, both classical and Sufi. For further ticket information, you can call area code 310-573-7787. If you're a KPFK subscriber and have not won any tickets from us in the last 2 months, please be our guest tomorrow night at this 8 o'clock concert at St. Matthew's Church. Give us a call at 818-985-5735-985-KPFK. Rowan, have a wonderful show tomorrow night.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks for coming down.
Check on them, check on them, it's that boy.